Guard your hearts. Okay? Protect purity, guard your hearts. I'm going to get into some specific application at the end. But right now, here's the second thing. You want to care for each other? Guard your hearts. Memorize this verse. Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your hearts, for out of it comes the wellspring of life. Above all else, guard your hearts. Not your virginity, not your wallet, not your ego, your heart. For out of it comes the wellspring of life. If you guard your heart, you have to worry about guarding everything else. Here's the biblical boundaries for guarding your heart. Guard it, but don't harden it. Here's another proverb, Proverbs 28:14. Blessed is the one who fears the Lord always, but whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Guard your heart, but do not shut it off. The Bible says that God gives us the desires of our heart. And some people have been so hurt or so afraid of romance and relationships that they just shut off. Guard your heart, but don't harden it. And most of all, don't harden it to God, because if you want God to speak to you and to help you and to move in you, you cannot harden your heart. Okay? So how do we guard our heart? Here's the first don't. Don't be fooled by emotions. Okay? Fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 22. For the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. None of those things are feelings, including love. Verse 24 says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Those are feelings. That doesn't mean we don't have feelings, okay? It means that we are in control of our feelings. One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. Proverbs 14:15, I love this. The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thoughts to his steps. So don't be fooled by your emotions. Keep them in check as best you can. Remind yourself of the truth. I just met this guy. Oh my goodness, I am bawling because he's talking to that other girl. Ladies, guard your hearts. And care for each other. Guys, guard girls' hearts, as well as your own, but guard girls' hearts. Don't say things you don't mean. Don't lead a girl on. Don't put her in a position where she gives you or wants to give you her heart, and you're like, I don't want it, don't give it to me, a hot potato. Okay? But do stay close to God. Galatians 5 goes on, verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. Psalm 119, 9 to 11, guys, I love this. Ladies, remember this. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart, and do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. So when we talk about caring for each other, remember in protecting purity and guarding our hearts, remember it was guys show respect. I'll come back to that in a second. But gals, remember it was demand respect. Later we're going to talk about gals pushing potential. Psalm 119, 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. You want to push your guy friends or the guy you're dating to be pure? Push him towards the word of God. In his own study, with older men, with his small group. Back to guys showing respect. Here's the thing. Remember I talked about this. Don't lust after her. Jesus said, if you lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart. What's lust? Here's a very simple definition. Lust is acting like something's yours when it's not. And she's not yours. So don't play with her in your head like she is. Don't push your boundaries. Okay? Nothing says I don't respect you like ignoring what she says. Oh, come on. And ladies, on the flip side, demand respect. Say no if you mean no. Don't be like, oh, stop. Okay? He wrote this, recognize her heart is fragile and a gift. Don't take what you can't handle, even if she emotionally offers it. And praise her for her purity. Compliment her character and her personality more than her looks. Okay? There's nothing wrong with saying a girl is beautiful, but here's the thing. You go a lot farther, and I don't mean in getting, okay? You will honor God if you compliment her for her character, for the qualities that she is as a person rather than just her looks. Okay? Girls demand respect. Oh, remember last week I shared that poem with you that was so funny from Song of Songs, Song 8? We have a little sister and she has no breasts. What shall we do for our sister on the day when she is spoken for? So what should we do to help her be so great when she's married? If she's a wall, we will build on her a battlement of silver. And if she's a door, we'll enclose her with boards of cedar. If you weren't here last week, you might miss that whole joke. It's great. Okay, so demand but the very next verse, verse 10 of that, the girl speaks and she says this, I was a wall and my breasts were like towers. Okay, that's not talking about their shape, okay? What it's talking about is this idea of they were unscalable, they were unreachable, okay? I was a wall and my breasts were like towers. Then I was in his eyes as one who finds peace. See, here's the thing, girls. If you kind of hold back where your boundaries really are, a guy is not at peace. He doesn't know how far he can go, and in his worst moments, he will push to see. But there is a peace that comes to a guy's heart when he knows, when I go out with this girl, there is nowhere to go. She has told me what it is, and I could be at peace. I know where she stands. I know what it is. I know, and I can either choose that or not. And guys, I don't know about you, but I find safety in that. With Ruth, I knew where the boundaries was. The first time I asked Ruth if I could hold her hand, she said, "Why?" And quite frankly, I didn't know. Ladies, you want a simple trick? Ask why. More often than not, he hasn't really thought about it, or if he has to say it out loud, it all of a sudden loses all appeal. I think a lot of times guys want to get physically close, especially in other people, because they want to let all the other guys know that she's with me. Or it's because I know if I can do this, then I can do this, and then I can do this, and then I can do this. If a guy knows where your boundaries are, and he's a good Christian guy, that should put him at peace. It's like, great, then we can just go and enjoy ourselves. I don't feel like, you know, I need to, get it? I don't want to belabor it. Okay. I wrote this down. This came out of one of the books I read. Ladies, modesty is who you are as much as what you wear. Again, remember, this isn't about rules. I'm not going to tell you what I think is appropriate for you to wear or not to wear. Modesty is more about who you are. When you bend over, do you protect the opening in your shirt? Like those kind of things. You can wear totally modest clothing and be totally immodest in how you flirt. Okay. I wrote this down. Don't be desperate. Don't lose yourself in him. Keep your life, keep your friends, keep your hobbies. Remember, you're only dating. You don't need a guy to make you happy or holy or fulfilled. And besides, that's a lot of pressure for a guy. It's a tall order, and he can't and shouldn't be able to fill it. If he can, there's something deficient with you. You are much more than a girlfriend. I wrote this down. Don't give up who you are for what you think you want or need. Don't give up who you are for what you think you want or need. I need a boyfriend. I know he's not a Christian, but I need a boyfriend. Don't give up who you are for what you think you want or need. It is a lot harder to demand respect back than to keep respect in the first place. The reason why I was so intrigued with Ruth is that Ruth loved Jesus more than she loved me. And I had hung around church my whole entire life, and I was a punk kid at 18. I would go through girls in a youth group like, I don't know, because I could find out right away which ones I would be more important than Jesus to them. And with Ruth, I found the real deal. And there was something extremely attractive about a girl who cared about something more than getting a guy. Be that girl. And this whole thing about guarding your hearts, Proverbs 10:19 says this, "When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise." When words are many, sin is not absent. Be careful what you talk about. You want to guard your heart? You want to protect purity? Don't sit in a car alone with a guy, and guys, don't sit in a car alone with a girl and start to talk about how great it's going to be when you can have sex. Before you know it, you'll be having sex. Girls, don't go home afterwards and talk to your girlfriends about how much you love him and how you're going to be married someday and blah, 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 after the third date. Guard your hearts. Where words are many, sin is found. If you start talking it up, it won't be long before it happens. So be careful what you talk about. Don't go on dates and start talking about marriage, about intimacy. Just don't go there. And the guys are all like, because I don't think there's anything scarier than taking a girl on a date and she says the M word. What? Whoa, I just said coffee. Okay? I think part of the problem with kissing, dating, goodbye is that what we've done is now we've said, okay, look, like if a guy asks you out, he's not just wanting to go on a date to see if you're a potential spouse. He's asking you out because he thinks you're the one he's supposed to marry. And so what's happened in the Christian church, and ladies, tell me if I'm wrong, guys have stopped asking girls out. It's because they don't want to marry you. They just want to get to know you better. But if they're told that asking a girl out is one step away from being married, no guy's going to ask a girl out. That's a lot of pressure. And girls, if you think he is asking you to marry him, of course you're saying no. But if it's just a cup of coffee, unless the guy's totally weird, like, nah, no. Okay? Or like, go grab a cup of coffee. And this is, again, where being friends is just so fundamental and so great. And be honest about your intentions. You go out, all of you go out for wings or whatever at Kelsey's later. There's a whole group of you and there's a new girl there, a new guy there. And you guys are talking and things are going really great. And you're like, this person's really interesting. Guys, don't be afraid to say, hey, this doesn't mean anything more than what I'm saying it is. I think you're really cool and neat. Would you like to grab a coffee sometime and we can talk more? She knows exactly where you stand. You haven't overpromised. And then if you don't call her for another coffee, that doesn't mean you never talk to her again and give her the cold shoulder. You just tell her, you look, you know what, I asked you because I wanted to get to know you better, and I got to know you better, and I want to continue to be your friend. No strings attached. If you do call her for another date, then it's like, you know what, I had a really great time last night. Do you want to see where this goes? But you know what, very rarely, girls, should you be turning down a cup of coffee. And guys, don't be afraid to ask a girl to go for a cup of coffee. Now, if she's not selling you any singles, I don't want to go down to snack and have all these girls going like, another guy just asked me for a cup of coffee. He didn't even tell me his name, okay? I'm not talking about strangers, okay? I'm talking about you are friends. Okay? Girls, don't go out with a guy if he's a complete stranger alone. And if he asks you, that doesn't mean you have to say, ah, and run away, okay? You'll be like, look, a whole group of us are going out, da da da. Why don't you come too? Or not. Okay? Demand and show respect. Guard your hearts. Protect purity. Here's the second big thing. Remember last week we talked about challenge each other? Here's the first thing. Challenge each other to grow in Christ as individuals. I hinted at this last week and I mean it. Do not play married. That's part of guarding your heart. Do not play married. Girls, he is not your spiritual mentor. He's not your spiritual compass. He's not your spiritual guru. Don't let him fill that role in your life. Not at this stage. Okay? Grow in Christ as individuals. Now here's the thing. Maybe you're not dating anybody right now. This challenging each other fits for just friends. Remember, dating is just that much more intimate and intentional, but it's just friends. Challenge each other to grow in Christ as individuals. Here's the thing. Be the right person, and you'll get the right person to date. Remember last week I told you that little thing, dress up like Halloween, don't be surprised when ghouls get in your pants? Okay? The same is reversed. If you do the right thing, if you be the right person, if you have the right relationship with God, you will attract the right kind of people. I keep on all, you know, it's always bad guys. Kind of bait are you putting out? Because you're only attracting a certain kind of guy. Change the bait. Okay? I don't mean that in a derogatory way necessarily, but if it stings like that, it's something to think about. So don't play married. Here's the do. Do pray for and encourage one another. We need each other. And how this increases in dating is as you start to pray more intentionally for that person. You start praying and asking God, what is your desire for this relationship? Give me wisdom. Give him or her wisdom. Help us to protect our purity. Help us to guard our hearts. All these kind of things. Here's the second thing. Grow in getting to know each other. How can we challenge each other in growing to get to know each other? Here's the challenge, okay? Don't settle or seclude yourselves too fast. Don't settle or seclude yourselves too fast. Okay. James 1:17 says that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. You can trust Him. Don't settle. That doesn't mean you're looking for perfection. What it does mean is you're looking for potential. Is this person's heart and life tuned and turned in the right direction? Are they as spiritually mature as Pastor Rick or my dad or whatever? No. But are they heading in that direction? And that's what you're looking for. Because the reality is Pastor Rick and your dad were 20 once in their walk with God. But they were walking with God. Okay? Too often I meet girls who are waiting for Jesus. And I don't mean the second coming. Okay? Here's the second thing. Don't do that. So the secluding thing is don't bar yourself off from your friends. You're only dating. And you don't want to do the walk of shame. You know what I'm talking about? The person who like totally abandons their friends and gets totally consumed. And the person, oh, it's just you and me. Oh, and then they get their heart broken and they do the walk of shame. And all of a sudden that person who hasn't called you for 2 months is calling you up and wanting to hang out. And you don't even have to tell them why they're calling. It's obvious they got dumped. Can we be friends again? Mm-mm. You want your friends involved in your dating relationship. You want their opinions. The wounds of a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Listen to your friends. Listen to your family. And seclude, that's emotional seclusion, but don't also physically seclude yourselves. You're asking for trouble. Remember, you're whole people. So don't settle or seclude yourselves too fast, but do slow down and enjoy the moments. Enjoy the moments. Even if this dating never goes past dating, enjoy the opportunity to get another brother, to get to know another brother or sister in Christ. Enjoy the opportunity to challenge and care for each other. Enjoy the opportunity to pray for each other. Enjoy the opportunity to have good conversation over a cup of coffee, to go and have a laugh at a movie. Enjoy it. And when it comes to the physical stuff, do you remember those of you who are dating or are married, do you remember the first time you got to sit beside that one that you had a crush on? And there's like electricity. It's like, chow. Right? And it's just like, oh, it's just so nice to just be beside them. Milk that for all it's worth. If you're in first year university and your plan is not to get married until you're done university, you got a long way to go. So stop, enjoy the scenery. You're going to be there for a while. Milk it. The time is going to come where those sparks don't happen anymore. That's normal in a relationship. So enjoy it while they're there. Don't be in such a rush. And guys, especially, we do this. It's like I'm sitting beside her. I wonder if I could just kind of... Great, on date 15. Enjoy the sparks. Because once you go to here, the sparks are gone. We're on to new sparks. And then new sparks, and new sparks. And before you know it, you're out of sparks, and now you're at the line, and it's over. Okay? Enjoy those moments. I remember the first time I held hands with Ruth. Unbelievable. I remember we were swimming buddies the missions trip that we met on. Everybody had to have a buddy, okay, at the beach. Just being her buddy was amazing. It's like, we're buddies. Where's your buddy? Oh, she's over there with her friends, but she's my buddy today. She's fair with me. Okay? Enjoy those moments. I remember the first time we held hands. Do you remember the first time you held hands with somebody you had a thing for? Unbelievable. God made you like that. Enjoy those moments. Don't be in such a hurry to get to the next thing. Okay? If you get goosebumps from the idea of just looking at each other, milk it. Okay? Enjoy the moments. They are good gifts from God. Enjoy them. Slow down. Enjoy dating. Enjoy getting to know each other. Next week we're going to talk about engagement and marriage. And when is it time to get married? And what is marriage really all about? And what does the Bible say about this kind of stuff? And believe it or not, Song of Songs, I think, gives us a window into a woman's heart, at least, if not the man's as well, on those jitters before marriage. And then we get the climax of the sex in chapter 4. You can read it and try to understand it. You'll be like, what? Really? This is the sex part? Okay? And we're going to talk about all that next week. Here's key number 2, and I saved it till the very end on purpose. But it undergirds everything. Okay? Always aim and act to better the person in Christ for God's glory. This should be the undergirding, underriding goal and principle. If you look at it this way, if they end up being the one you marry, you've been investing the whole time. And then you get to cash in on your wedding day and the rest of your marriage. If you didn't, you have loved them the way that God has called you to. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, love is... Okay? Because remember, all of those things from friendship, all of those things of relationship, about how we were created to relate and to represent God here, to be fruitful and to multiply and to have dominion, ultimately to represent God here. And that just in, as friends in Christ, we have equal value and importance, and we have shared mission, and we have differences, but we have a duty to look out for each other and to love each other and to bring each other closer to Christ. Ultimately, God cares more than anything about changing you to the image of Christ, and He uses relationships to do it more than any marriage. But I believe that every relationship can be a tool in God's hand to better chisel each of us into the image of Christ. And so if you go into dating with the aim and the actions of bettering that person in Christ for God's glory, even if you break up and there will be tears because someone thought that this was going to be more than what you thought it was, that's why it's so important to be honest and upfront. In the long run, when the tears are over, you should be able to stand back, even if you're the one who got broken up with, and say, you know what? I'm sorry it didn't work out because he was such a great guy. But he was such a great guy. And I am better at relationships. I am closer in my walk with God. And I thank God for bringing that guy or that gal into my life. And wouldn't it be awesome to get to the point where you could like write letters to like your wife's boyfriends and be like, hey, Trevor, I heard that you dated so-and-so in college. Thank you so much for honoring her. I know that probably won't happen, but... Okay? You get it? I've seen dating done really well in this group. I've also seen it done not so well. After we talk about engagement and marriage, and I'm closing with this, this is it. I'm going to talk about repentance and forgiveness and making things right. Because I know, not all of you have done it right. I didn't do it right for a long time. You can do it right. And we worship a God of second, third, fourth, fifth chances. The abundant life that Christ promises, the relationships, and I don't mean he promises marriage for everybody, but the healthy relationships that honor him and that bring joy and satisfaction to life are still within your reach. Okay, so don't give up hope. You can start new right now.